Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance with extra benefits like personal accident cover.
Tweet at Miriam O'Cal. Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
From the Lear Drama Academy in Trinity College to co-founding the experimental theatre group Chaos Factory to Game of Thrones and now the Netflix smash Shadow and Bone, my next guest this morning has not had many quiet moments for the past couple of years. Young Dublin actress Danielle Galligan plays the character of Nina Zenick in the fantasy series based on the best-selling books, and she joins me now from London. Morning, Danielle.
Good morning, Miriam. How are you?
Great. Congrats on all your success. Look, everyone wants a piece of you now. This is a really big production you're working on. For those not familiar with the storyline, how would you describe it?
I would say that it is it's a fantasy series first and foremost, but I think that the basic storyline for me, or the most important storyline, I guess, is of a young girl kind of stepping into her power. And I know that that can sound quite vague, but I think we see that day to day, and I think every little woman has experienced that in some way when they have to step up. And it's about a young girl basically she discovers she is an ancient power that is the antithesis to the dark magic that is plaguing her country. And she has a lot of people on their knees calling her a saint, but then all the people who currently hold the power are looking at her like a threat. And I think that's something that we've also seen, like, look at Greta Thunberg making men in suits quake all around the world. So I think for me, that's the prominent storyline.
And she has the power to control and damage the heart. You described her as well, Danielle, as very ballsy with bravado and confidence.
Yeah, well, that's my character, Nina Zenick. I would say, as she moves through the world, I think they're the impressions that people would get of her first and foremost. But I think what I love about her more so is that there's a chapter in the book where she talks about being like a lost little child and out of her depth when she's trying to do her job. And I just love that juxtaposition of that little child who has then been turned into a trained killer. Like, she is her own weapon. And I think that I feel about Nina Zenick is she values above all is human connection. Like, she can't help but see the human in people, which obviously gets her into hot water at times. But I think that so often, you know, we're seeing so many strong women in real life, in fiction and on TV. And I think so often in order to hashtag or quote unquote be a boss, you need to maybe sometimes cut off other parts of you. And I think what I love about Nina Zenick is that she is a killer, but on the other side of that, she never loses connection or cuts off any other parts of her, and she stays true to, like, she's a massive hedonist and she never denies herself any pleasure. And I think she always stays true to all of her emotions and to her wants and to that lost little girl. She embraces every part of her, and I think that I love that about her, to see that you could be all things as opposed to, you know, trying to dim down other parts of you, let's say.
And I love the story of how you auditioned for the role. I suppose we're all used to now meetings and classes via Zoom and WhatsApp. In 2019, I think you'd forgotten you'd sent in an audition tape, and then you didn't have a Skype account when you were told you'd have to do a Skype audition with the producers. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was one thing that I sent in. I'd never auditioned for Netflix before. And I remember hearing or reading the character description, and I was like, oh, wow, something in me, like a chime just went off. And I was like, wow, this is the first time I felt like very much represented, as like for me personally, where I was at in my time when I read the description of Nina Zenick. But yeah, then sent it off and going, ah, well, you know, go on, good luck to that. I'm sure that'll be brilliant. I can't wait to watch it. And then, yeah, they came back and they needed me to fly to London, and I couldn't because I was doing a theatre show at the time. And I figured, oh, I've lost it. That's fine. You know, I'll have a pint and cry about it later. But you know, then they came back and they said they were willing to do Skype. I didn't have a setup. I had my laptop and my ironing board with like 50 books, like, balancing like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and I didn't have, sure, I'm sitting here with you with no shoes on in my pajama bottoms, I'm not gonna lie. So it was very much the same, but I was very starstruck. Like, Eric Heiser, obviously, I'd heard of. I loved Arrival so much, and I think Bird Box was out at that stage as well. They just had a very nice way of making me feel very myself, and very much that what I had to say mattered and was of value. And I think that, you know, when someone does that, I'll talk for days, I guess. But it was a very nice environment. And I have to say that I think it always starts from the top in a workplace. And that environment that was created there between me and them on the Zoom or on the Skype was definitely something that I felt the day that I stepped on set as well. And I think that they created a very, not familial, but quite like amicable and open and just nice environment, I think. So, yeah, when I heard that I got the job, I kind of didn't register it. I think so, to hark back to what I was saying there about, like, you know, I was in a work schedule and I was like, I'm giving myself breaks and trying to like do a bit of writing. And I think I was kind of switched off from any other parts of me at that moment. And I got the call and I was like, okay, great. Thank you. Fantastic. And my agent was like, it's amazing. And I was like, yes, brilliant. Great. I've got 15 minutes before I need to be back at the computer. So I rang my mum and I was like, yeah, look, I got the thing. And she was like, oh my God. And I was like, yeah, grand. Okay, look, I'm going to go. Okay, because I've just got this thing. Have to get it in. So I went back and then I needed to pee. And I was like, oh my break is over. And I was like, oh, look, I'm just going to go pee. And I think it was that moment where I sat in the toilet and I just bawled my eyes out. And I was just like looking at the ceiling being like, thank you. Thank you. So that was that. It was a very surreal moment for me.
Now, your character and a character called Matthias, he's sent to hunt your kind down. You fall in love and they have become, I mean, real favourites, not only in the book, but in the TV series. Perhaps maybe challenging the main actors even for attention, according to many in social media. They own the show with hardly any screen time, Twitter says. Listen, we're going to hear a little bit now of you and Matthias.
Well, Kirch, it might be a bit much for you. On Gazin's Day, it's customary to ride through the streets naked and drunk on grapefruit wine.
Not Kirch.
Oh, the Wandering Isle. Well, I can fit in there, no trouble. Have you ever met anyone from there?
They are infernally happy.
Yeah, you'll come to like being happy. You'll never have to grow that damn Driscalla beard. I mean, you're welcome to grow a beard, but only for the purposes of keeping me warm.
I will keep you warm.
I love, Danielle, how you kept your Dublin accent for the role.
I kept it for a little bit. Initially, they said that I was going to be able to keep it, but then I think that because I was playing a character from Ravka and all the other Ravkins at the time were Brits, that I had to do a British accent. So I just tried to copy the other girls. I got them to record my lines for me. But the beauty of Nina Zenick is that she is a spy. So when I was undercover, I was undercover as like an Irish person, which was nice because it was kind of, I suppose, art not reflecting reality, but like in the opposite way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So it was fun. But yeah, I'd love a little more of that because I just love hearing the Irish accent and, you know, in big productions like that. It's so rare, so lovely.
It must be nice as well that you've got such positive critical reaction to you in it, because initially people are so obsessed with Shadow and Bone, you know, and they were worried that your character was meant to be curvy and you're not and they were worried about that, but they all love you now.
Yeah, it was an interesting time, I think, definitely, because when I read the books, I read them and I read them again and I read them again with a fine-tooth comb, and I really did feel that I was a good representation of Nina Zenick, I guess. But I think that's the thing, is that there's like a systemic kind of lack of representation for different female bodies on screen. I think the modeling industry is getting better at it, but I still think on screen, you know, we're still, and you know, I'm not saying obviously the best actor always should get the job, but I think that when there's a character, we need more characters like Nina Zenick so that we can see more body types. Because I would say, you know, I've always said that I am curvy, you know, but then there's not curvy enough. I think we're a step in the right direction, and we can't fix a problem that has been going on for so long. So naturally, when there was backlash, I kind of thought, as scary as it was for me, because obviously no one wants to be, you know, the part of the problem in any way, and I don't feel that we are, but I think that we were starting a conversation that I was really excited by, because I have felt restricted with parts and stuff, and I have felt the pressures to be a certain body type in order to be successful. And the fact that I just said that sentence sounds so ridiculous. You have to look a certain way to get success and to have your ambition realized. And I just think that it's starting a really good conversation. Even now, being able to talk about it with you, I think is amazing. And I think we do need to look at the types of women we're seeing in I don't mean types of women, I mean body shapes and men and women in real roles, because it is damaging the younger generation. Massively.
And Danielle, even before your big success now, I mean, you established Chaos Factory with your fellow female actors. It's, you know, an all-female cohort in 2018. That was a really interesting thing to do.
Yeah, I just love those women. I love the work that we do. I love the way we work. So we're all actors, of course. But there was just something more I think we needed to be creatively satisfied. So I think it came out of a drive for, like, exploration and experimentation and a need to be creatively satisfied. And I think that's, I see it in so many of my other peers from Dublin in terms of the theatre industry. Like, you know, I feel that there's so many people like that who just have a hunger and a yearning for just a little bit, something more, something different, or just to excavate a little bit more. And I kind of feel like the Dublin like theatre industry in general is just a lot of people not having enough to do what they want, but still giving a bit to other people and helping them up the ladder. So we definitely had like help from amazing creatives along the way and everything. But yeah, I have so much respect for them as artists. And like, we have such a sisterhood. It's a really beautiful safe space to really fail.
Who are your, do you have a hero or a heroine?
In terms of my career, I think I have many, but I think they're all a bit closer to home for me. I really love Brené Brown. And I think that she has amazing talks on shame and vulnerability. And there was something that I used for Nina Zenick, definitely. She has a quote about people who live wholeheartedly and without shame are people who are courageous. And it comes from the French saying cœur, so it literally means to have heart. And I think to live wholeheartedly and unapologetically was something that I definitely took for Nina Zenick. But in terms of real heroes, like it's just my Nana and my mum, to be honest, and like my auntie. I'm surrounded by really amazing women. I know, like, I don't want to be like, you're a mother, but I know that you were definitely probably an amazing role model for your daughters as well. So yeah, I think that's it for me. They had tough times, and to be where I am today, I think is definitely as a result of their, you know, support and their example.
And since you mentioned your Nana Kay, of course, she set up the Galligan Beauty Group, didn't she, in Grafton Street, and your mom and your aunt are involved. You could have gone that way instead of into acting.
I could have, and I did. I did work there a little bit to make money, obviously, when I was in college to pay for the Guinness that I was drinking, but not much else. But yeah, I could have, and I did think about it. But I think my mum was always very good because, you know, you'd meet people on the street or whatever, and they'd be like, oh, and this is little Danielle, and she's going to be taking over the dynasty afterwards. And she was always very much like, no, she's going to do her own thing. She'll do what she wants. She's welcome to, but she can do what she wants. Yeah, and not to say that I didn't think about it, but I guess I just... the bug bit me in a different place. That's not the expression, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's gone so well. Look, Danielle, congrats on all your success. And of course, Shadow and Bone is currently going out on Netflix. And thanks so much for chatting to me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really, really lovely to talk to you.
Oh, it's my pleasure.